In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual commodity, a gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." In 1981, the Spirit of God branded this phrase in my heart. Said, "Keith, I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to use you to hook the hearts of people together. I want people to know how much power can be multiplied if they just have spiritual camaraderie, spiritual fellowship, or mutual faith." That's why it's so important for you to be planted in a place like the Rock. Your possibilities with the promises of God greatly enlarge when you join your faith. And what happens when I long to see people? See, you got to have a love for folk if you want to see them. If you're going to unload to people spiritual truth or spiritual commodities, it's going to do three things. According to these verses, it will encourage you, it will strengthen you, and it will establish you. I believe this morning, as I teach you the Word of God, you're going to be so refreshed in your spirit. You're going to have a newfound joy. You're going to be encouraged that you're getting ready to step into the best week of your life. I believe you're going to be established this week. Whatever seems to be crumbling at the foundation and you think it's falling apart, it's going to be stabilized by the Word of the Lord. You're going to be encouraged, strengthened, and refreshed in Jesus' name. Are you all ready? Praise the Lord. If you are, go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. I want to speak to you from the most famous verse in the New Testament. This is a verse you probably know by heart. It's a verse many people across America know, but they never live in the joy of it because they always have it in their future thinking. They always think this has something to do with the sweet by and by. But in John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to share with you briefly this morning with this passage why I preach the gospel and why I believe what I preach. If you join your faith with me this morning and have mutual faith, you will find a refreshment, an encouragement for your soul. You will find new strength, and you will be established in your life assignments. Why I preach the gospel and why I believe what I preach. Four principles from this passage are so important and so powerful for each and every one of us. Like I say, many times we hear this verse and we know, well, if we ask Jesus into our heart, that we have eternal life, and in one day, when we die, we get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. That's true, and that's the gospel, and that's the wonderful news for all of us. But let's not just postpone it to future help. This verse has something to do with your now, and it's why I preach the gospel. The first thing I want to talk to you about in this verse, "For God so loved the world." Number one, you must get into a love position. This is why I tell people the truth, so they can find a place where they're loved. God loves you. You know, sometimes I think we Christian folk get so works-oriented with our life that we work at loving God. We work in and being emotional in some way and trying to love God and trying to love people. But we find in our own frailty, we fail. I'm learning the older I get, not to focus as much on how I love God, but to focus rather how much God loves me. I want to get in a love position and receive the love of the Father. Until you know how much you are loved, your life will never work. Until you know how to receive the love of the Father, you can never really experience the fullness of what He has to you. We must get into a love position. We must say yes to the grace of God, His embrace. Do you know God loves you whether you like it or not? Do you know God loves you whether you're good or bad? God loves you whether you're sad or grumpy or angry. His love for you doesn't change. You and I have to position ourselves to receive the love of the Father. We all know that verse in 3 John, Verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper, that you're in health as your soul prospers. You know, we're all looking for prosperity. We're all chasing after health and these blessings of God. Thank God for all of them. But you know what, friend? They all come from a beloved position. Until you get in a love position and know how to daily receive the love of the Father, life gets too complicated. And you find in your own works you're trying to achieve something He's already given. Here's what I mean by a love position. Think of the Apostle John. This is the way he described himself in John chapter 13, verse 23. It says, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, isn't it interesting? John wrote that about himself. In other words, he didn't use his personal name. He just said, leaning on Jesus was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. John had developed a mindset of receiving the love of the Father regardless of anything else. And that's what I want to encourage you today. This is why I preach the gospel. I want you to always understand, whenever you hear the goodness of God and the word of the Lord, God loves you completely. And we have to get into a place where we see ourselves as loved. I don't think Jesus loved John more than Peter. I don't think Jesus loved John more than the other apostles. But yet John positioned himself and receive the Father's love. You and I must get into a love position. Let me ask you a personal question. Not that I'm trying to meddle in your personal life or personal business, but you don't have to answer this question out loud, but let me just ask it anyway. Do you like to snuggle? Do you like to snuggle? I'm a snuggler. You can tell I'm kind of a touchy-feely guy. I'm an emotional guy. If I greet you afterwards, I'll shake your hand, give you a hug, give you a high five. I like touch. I like to snuggle. When I met Heidi, I said, glory, hallelujah, snuggle time. Praise the Lord. I love to snuggle. Even to this day, when I'm not traveling and I'm home, and when I roll over in bed tonight, I love to just wrap my arms around my wife and snuggle. Now, Heidi enjoys snuggling too, for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then she says, get on your own side of the bed. Do not cross this line, you know. Because she says, I'm hot, you know, my body. I said, Heidi, when you're hot, you're hot. You know, I mean, it's just the way life is, praise the Lord. But, you know, there's something about snuggling. There's something about being close. There's a lot of people who love Jesus, as it were, but they don't allow the Father to love them. See, when the Lord loves you, you let Him touch you and you become tender. It's important that you see yourself loved. Religious people can become spiritually frigid. They don't want to be touched. They're not tender. Their heart's insulated. They're callous. They want to fix everything on their own. Bless God. Usually religious people are grumpy. Self-sufficient people always get in their own way. But a love position lets the Father embrace you. No matter what you've done wrong, no matter what you've done right, it has nothing to do with any of it. You're just loved. God loves you today. No matter how you've screwed up, no matter how hard you're on yourself, God loves you. Aren't you glad? You know, I find that getting in a love position is pretty expensive. I met Heidi when I was going to Bible school many, many years ago at a prayer meeting. And she was praying. I said, man, this girl knows how to pray. And so anyway, we were getting acquainted and we'd go to prayer meetings together. And then she was chasing me all over town. And I finally just ran out of energy and just yielded. You know what I mean? I just said, okay, baby. No, anyway, I was chasing her more than she was chasing me. But the thing that I've found out about love, when love grows and you commit to love, love is expensive. I had no idea love would cost me so much when I fell in love with Heidi. I mean, I'm still paying. You know what I mean? It's still costing me. See, it's like letting the Father love you. When you become reciprocal, it's going to cost you something. You die to your own personal ambition. You die to yourself. You go the extra mile. You serve. You see a need, you fill it. Love's expensive. So if you want this love position, there's great, great joy in it. But it'll cost you something. It really, really will. I remember years ago when I moved to California in the mid-70s to go to college. There was a television program on in those days by Lloyd John Ogilvie. He was the pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church, and then later he became the chaplain of the United States Senate. He had a program called Let God Love You. And then he had a little lyric, a little jingle with this song. The program always started, Let God Love You, Turn Your Trials into Stepping Stones, or something like that. But the whole thought, Let God Love You. In other words, instead of us trying to love God and trying, according to our understanding, to figure God out and love God with our... It's too complicated. But when you let God love you, changes everything. Now you can love Him. He fixes your heart. It's really, really powerful. So, let God love you today and see your life change. Number two, the second reason why I preach the gospel in John 3:16, it says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him. The second reason I preach the gospel is to get you into a faith position. Number one is to get you into a love position. Number two is to get you into a faith position. The reason I preach this good news is so you choose to believe in the one who believes in you. And I tell you what, dear friend, when you understand that faith is trusting Him completely, putting God's word as final authority in your life, and your life then has a corresponding action to what you're believing, everything changes. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 5:4. It says, For whatever or whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. How many of you got some challenges in this world? Anybody at all? Man, I do. But I tell you, I'm born of God, and my faith in Him allows me to be victorious in this world arena. This is the victory that overcomes this world system. It's our faith. I preach the gospel so you choose to be a believer today. You don't have to live like you're losing. You don't have to subscribe to everything that's going wrong. You can receive the love of the Father, and you can walk by faith, and you can be victorious. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. I like to say faith, a believing heart, is the trigger that lets you score. It's the trigger that releases the power of God. I remember when I coached high school basketball. In fact, my son Josh, he played basketball for 4 years in high school. And so I coached. I was one of the coaches. And I always remember teaching, as we'd teach the team how to pass to each other. You don't want to catch a pass down here or way up here. If you're a shooting guard, you want to catch it in the sweet spot. You want to catch it in the shooting position so you can knock it down. You can release. You can score. Sometimes, I'm always trying to encourage people, shoot the ball. And people are afraid they're going to miss. They thought I'd get mad if they miss. I don't get mad if you miss. You can't make it unless you shoot it. Shoot the ball. Some people, they don't know how to express their faith and release their faith and score. They think, well, what if it doesn't work? What do I do then? Well, then shoot again. Believe again. Trust God again. But shoot the ball. Yeah. Faith is a trigger. Get into a shooting position. Get into a faith position. When you're in faith, you can overcome the world. Now, if you're in doubt and unbelief, you'll live like you're losing. You'll tell everybody how negative everything is and how you're just going down for the count. But if you walk by faith and get into that faith position, you can score. In our culture right now, in our world, there's a great assault against people who are believers. We're mocked, we're ridiculed, we're made fun of. We have Christianity as a crutch. You're one of those Jesus guys. You're one of those hallelujah folks, huh? Then they say, we who have grown in knowledge, we understand the Bible really is just full of myths. You people are just these faith people, And they mock you. You know, they say all these stories in the Old Testament are myths. You know, they say Jonah wasn't really in the whale 3 days and three nights. That's just a myth. It's a fable. It's a story. You can't believe that. You can't believe God created the world. We've all evolved. God didn't create nothing. You're just believing myths. Well, look at Jesus said about old Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." I thought to myself, you know what? If Jonah was in the belly of the whale and Jesus said he was, and Jesus believed it, I think I'll believe it too. I believe I'll believe the gospel. I think I'll side with the Word of God. And see, that's why you've got to renew your heart. You've got to get in to this love position. You got to get into the Word of God, the words of Jesus, the Word of Christ, the redemptive words that build your faith. Because your faith is always under attack by people, by problems. But you have to make a decision that you're going to believe the Word of God and you're going to receive everything He has. So I preach the gospel to get you in a love position. I preach the gospel to get you in a faith position, because faith worketh by love. That's what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The third reason. Back to John chapter 3, 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish." The third reason I preach the gospel is to get you into a preservation position. See, you don't have to live your life losing. You don't have to live a life that's just perishing or falling apart, spoiling, you know, depreciating, deteriorating. You don't have to perish. Your marriage does not have to perish. Your mind does not have to perish. Every part of your life can be preserved and held together powerfully. Look what the Bible says that the Father's will is for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now." Everybody say, "Now." Notice, God does this in a believing moment. All you need is a now moment where you've received the love of the Father, said yes to the truth of the gospel. Thirdly, you're preserved. "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved." No more deterioration. No more depreciation. From now until Jesus comes again. The reason I preach the gospel to people is so you don't have to lose your mind. You don't have to lose your health. You don't have to lose your money. You don't have to lose your dreams. You don't have to lose what God assigned you. You're preservable in Jesus' name. And that's why your whole life can be put together if you just respond and position yourself. Get in a love position. Get into a faith position. Get into a preservation position. And everything is fixable. The fourth reason and principle out of John 3:16, which is so powerful, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The fourth reason is this: to get you into a life position. You know, the verse says we have everlasting life, and some people think that's the only thing we have to look forward to is when we get out of here. But thank God you can have the high life right now. It's the Zoe life. That word in the Greek is Zoe. It means the life of God. And you know what, precious friend? You and I can absolutely enjoy every daily moment. We can have an abundant life. And this is the greatest joy that Heidi and I have been preaching all over the world. This year in the Middle East, we were so blessed with so many testimonies of people who got saved last year at our Kingdom Fiesta event and came back this year and were giving us testimonies of how their miracles still held, how people were blessed with relationships and babies and healings and manifestations, dynamic things. All these precious people received because they believed. And that was in the Middle East. This gospel works everywhere. If it's presented with the heart of the Father, people crave and desire the truth of God's love. And you know what? They can experience a life position. You can experience the Zoe life of God, the God kind of life. In our ministry of mutual faith, Many of you know we have Bible schools. One of the things we have is what we call Life Leadership Institutes. We use the term LIFE, L-I-F-E, as an acronym. It means living in fullness every day. We believe God wants to ordain what you do. He wants to bless you abundantly in life. Every part of your life is blessed and refreshed so you can absolutely give life away. And so we need to always remind one another to get into a life position. And we find that in Jesus Christ. Remember, once you find a love position, you can experience a faith position. Once you have a faith position, you can find a preservation position. Once you have a preservation position, you can experience a life position. But there's a methodology, and it all deals with your heart. Here's what holds people back from enjoying what I'm preaching. Go with me in your Bible to the next verse in John 3. It's John 3, 17. John 3, 17. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." You know, God's not mad at you, and God will not condemn. Jesus will not condemn you. There's no condemnation with Jesus' ministry. The Bible says in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, that the law, the old way, through man's effort, is the ministry of condemnation. And it says the law, if you're trying to live according to it, is the ministry of death. Jesus wasn't about the law. He was about grace and truth. The Bible says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Once you experience grace, which is really the love of God in full manifestation, the truth of God's word takes hold on you. If you think Jesus was ever judgmental, then you didn't read your Bible correctly. The only time Jesus got frustrated and angry with people were with religious people who were trying to do everything according to their own effort and their own ability. But Jesus never brought condemnation to sinners. The Bible says He was a friend of sinners. And friend, I suspect that maybe this morning you're a sinner. Maybe. Maybe I'm a sinner. Maybe we've missed the mark this week. Maybe we got mad. Maybe we lost our joy. Maybe we said something we shouldn't say, did something we shouldn't do. Jesus will not condemn you for that. Jesus will remind you of what His blood has done. He'll remind you of your righteousness if you're a believer. And He wants to get you back into a love position so you find no condemnation. It's a gift. Remember the story in John chapter 8. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the very act, the Bible says. They brought her and threw her in the midst of Jesus. And they said to Jesus, they quoted the Bible, and said, "Now the law says we're to stone this woman, for she's caught in the very act of adultery." Jesus did not get excited about their legalism. He just said, "Well, any one of you who's not committed sin, you can cast the first stone." You know, Jesus said, if you commit one, you're guilty of all. So Jesus said, any of you that are just Mr. Holier Than Thou, go ahead and fulfill your own law requirements. If you want to, you throw the first stone. The Bible says they left from the greatest to the least, one by one. And Jesus was left alone with the little lady. Jesus didn't say, "You good for nothing old lady." No, 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 no. Jesus loved her. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." See, Jesus never comes to bring you condemnation. But when you receive the love of no condemnation, that grace empowers you to have victory over sin. Jesus said, "Now you've received my love. You have capacity to have my faith. You can now be preserved. You can experience fullness of life." Then He said, "Now go and sin no more." There's victory in your life over sin. There's victory over all the challenges when you receive the gift of no condemnation, because you know the truth of John 3:16. And that's why I love that verse, John 3:17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life." And so I just want to encourage you today. The way you fix your world, your family, your life, your relationships, your life with God, is just allow the Lord to love you. Receive His love. Let His word be final authority. And you're going to experience the fullness of His victory. Did you all like the word today? Praise the Lord.